The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
What's going on, everyone? This is End Time Headlines, and it is Thursday, April 7th, and it is going to be an interesting topic today. We want to welcome you guys to the broadcast today. This is your first time joining us. We want to welcome you in the comment section below. If you're watching live, or if you're watching by YouTube or Rumble or through the app, let us know in the comment section below that you are new to the broadcast and where you guys are joining us from. We would appreciate to hear from you and to acknowledge that. So before we get started today, guys, we're always, as always, I want to give you an opportunity to keep up with our ministry and what we're doing. You can do that easy. The best way to do that is not relying on social media outlets, but go right to the app store on your phone. If you have an Apple, an Android, we've got you covered. It's free. Go to the Apple store, go to the Android store or Play store and look for our End Time Headlines app. If you're listening today by Apple or Spotify, just type in End Time Headlines. You're going to see our official logo. Download the app. Again, it's free, and you'll get all of our latest news and headlines, and you're going to get our, as well as our podcasts, such as the one you're listening to or watching as we speak. So again, we want to encourage you to do that before we get started on this thing. So today, originally, we were not going to broadcast till Friday, tomorrow, but we were able to, there were some things that came up, and we had to rearrange scheduling and so on and so forth. So today, this is the topic I want to talk about today. Are we about to see the emergence of the fourth empire of, or the fourth kingdom, rather, of Bible prophecy? Again, are we about to see the emergence of the fourth kingdom or fourth empire of Bible prophecy? This entire message stems from this article that you're looking at on your screen. If you're watching this visually, this is from the source of this is Israel 365 Breaking News. We're going to pull this up, Israel365news.com. Again, this is the headline. Klaus Schwab calls to form a one world government. And then the question is this the emergence of Daniel's fourth kingdom? According to the article, during a keynote speech on Wednesday this week, the opening day of the World Government Summit, or WGS 2022. In Dubai, the WEF's executive chairman, Klaus Schwab, that's the World Economic Forum. I want you to become familiar. Let me pull this back up here again. I'm going to pull this image back up for you guys that are watching this visually. You guys that are listening, I'll explain this as we go along. This guy that you see on this poster that's here being demonstrated, where it says the Great Reset. I want you to get very familiar with three terms. One is the Great Reset. You've heard us talk about this. We've discussed this. All this is going to play a role. And then the second one is the World Economic Forum. And then the third one is this man right here in the center of this, Klaus Schwab. Now, why do I need to pay attention to this? Okay, because you listen to me, because you have the organization who is spearheading this. You've got the man behind it who is spearheading this. And you've got the agenda that is being spearheaded, which is the Great Reset. Let me say that again. You have the World Economic Forum, who is the organization. You have the leader of this thing who is pushing this thing forward is Klaus Schwab. He's the guy who is noted for saying that in the future, you will own nothing and be happy. You ever heard of that phrase? That's the guy who has coined that phrase. And again, World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, and again, the agenda, by the way, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is public knowledge. We talked about this. You can go to the worldeconomicforum.com. You can go to thegreatreset.com. It's all there. It's in open. It's in plain English or whatever language that you are. It's there plain to see. No hiding it. No riddles. No enigmas. No parables. There has been an agenda, and that is the Great Reset. But consequently, this past Wednesday, during the opening day of this World Government Summit of leaders, world leaders unified to address, quote, global issues such as climate change, trade, and economic disruption. Schwab emphasized that this, quote, one world government, and he emphasized that this one world government must form as soon as possible. Let me say that again. We must form this one world government as soon as possible.
History is truly at a turning point. We do not yet know the full extent and the systemic and structural changes which will happen. However, we do know that global energy systems, food systems, and supply chains will be deeply affected. In times of crisis, the role of governments is more important and more relevant than ever. What is also needed is a summit like this one to go beyond crisis management and to look into constructive ways we can build our common future. Our futures are intrinsically connected to one another, as the profound challenges to mankind, such as climate change, are globally interconnected and require collaborative responses. In conclusion, and despite all the challenges, we have to uphold our responsibility which we have towards the next generation and which we can only fulfill through collaboration on a national and on a global level.
This echoes basically the same thing that the United States President Joe Biden said when he was speaking at an event.
And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. We've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it.
Okay. The impact of the fourth industrial quote, I'm going to give you a quote here. Ready? Quote. This is from, again, from this from Schwab. The impact of the fourth industrial revolution accelerates global change in a much more comprehensive and faster way than previous industrial revolutions. Schwab said to the assembled world leaders, he went on to say that, quote, despite all the challenges we have to uphold the responsibility we have towards the next generation through collaborations on a national and global level, our futures are intrinsically, sorry guys, I got tongue-tied there, connected, and that requires collaborative responses. Quote, the world has to overcome the damage done to our economies and societies by COVID. It also has to confront the repercussions of a dangerous clash between major global empires. End quote. In other words, everything has come to a head. We live in a volatile world. Everything is changing. And by the way, this was one of the terms that Biden used. He said that transition was taking place. There was a, I'll give you the exact quote. There is a shifting happening. Now, one rabbi, Yosef Berger, the rabbi of King David's tomb in Mount Zion, noted that it was not by chance that Schwab adopted this concept of the, quote, fourth industrial revolution for the time for unifying the world governments and corporations. In fact, the rabbi cited a passage out of the book of Daniel. And I'm going to read it to you, and we'll pull up the scriptures as well. This is Daniel 7:23. Quote, he said, this, the fourth beast, means there will be a fourth kingdom upon the earth. And I agree with that, which will be different from all the other kingdoms, and it will devour the entire earth, tread it down, and crush it. That's Daniel 7:23. Let me read this quote from the rabbi. Quote, like so many before him, this person wants to rule for his own glory. He's talking about Schwab. And from his, and he understands that Daniel was a great prophet, and this person, who I wish not to name, wants to pervert the words of Daniel for his purpose. Quote, I have seen great leaders come to Jerusalem over the years, the leaders who seek God's glory, who know that their mandate as a ruler comes from King David and the God of Israel, are successful and bring light into the world. Others reject Jerusalem, actually reject it, and they inevitably bring darkness into the world. Quote, if this person wanted to help people, it is simple, and it is written in the Bible. He is rich while there are poor people in the world that are starving. Quote, he does not care about morality. He worships himself. Quote, if he really wants to bring light into the world, I invite him to come to Jerusalem. I will introduce him to King David. I will introduce him to Jerusalem. Now, as Passover is about to begin, is the time. Now, I want to read on here. In 2020, and what I want to do, guys, in the beginning of this, I want to, this whole first half of this segment, we're highlighting this article. We're talking about the substance of the article, what it's about, what does it mean? That's what we're talking about. Then we're going to shift gears at the second half of this segment, and we're going to pull up the scriptures out of the book of Daniel and see if it is possible that we are seeing the emergence of this fourth kingdom that Daniel prophesied. So in 2020, the World Economic Forum was headlined, quote, the Great Reset. At the heart of the agenda is Clause concept of stakeholder capitalism, an idea that Schwab had been advocating for decades, which would result in allocating corporations more power over society. Elected governments would be just one stakeholder in a multi-stakeholder model of global governance. Now, this is important. I want you to remember this stuff, because when we get to the latter part of this segment, the second part, and I get to the 10 kings or the 10 horns, when I get to those, this is all going to kind of make sense as it's going to play in. If we really are seeing the emergence of what could be this fourth kingdom and this final empire. Let me say that again. We're talking about global governance, corporations coming together. So, quote, some may find it disturbing to note that in his book, Schwab coined the term build back better. Biden did not come up with this. Schwab came up with this. The Great Reset came up with this. The World Economic Forum came up with this. And it was later adopted by Biden ahead of his inauguration as the name of his legislative framework. Like Schwab, quote, Biden has a long history of openly advocating for a new world order. Hello, the video of him literally just saying that is enough proof. Critics have claimed that Biden's infrastructure bill is about advancing, quote, the Great Reset agenda by eliminating the private use of decentralized crypto to replace it with centralized tracked and traced central bank digital currencies. Again, this is not a conspiracy. This was signed into law.
President Biden signed an executive order today directing the federal government to come up with a plan to regulate cryptocurrencies. The move follows what the Biden administration is calling the, quote, explosive growth of digital assets in recent years. Under the order, the government will coordinate efforts with financial regulators to get a better understanding of the risks and benefits of cryptocurrencies. The directive also calls for the exploration and consideration of creating a digital form of the U.S. dollar.
In 1971, Schwab, founded what would later become the World Economic Forum, where he currently serves as executive chairman, for which he receives a salary of about $1 million. He is frequently criticized in the media for this, while at the same time, he has declared that excessively high management salaries were, quote, no longer socially acceptable. Imagine that. Also, the WEF does not pay any federal taxes. Imagine that. The WEF is also criticized for its lack of transparency in its financial reporting. Shocking. Schwab has also drawn criticism for mixing the finances of the non-for-profit World Economic Forum and other for-profit business ventures frequently for his financial benefit. Are you shocked? I sure am. Sarcasm. Schwab has later stated that a globalized world is best managed by a self-selected coalition. Self-selected coalition. Again, keep all this in your mind and keep it fresh when we get to the Bible part of this. Let me read on. Schwab has stated that a globalized world is best managed by a self-selected coalition of multinational corporations, governments, including the United Nations system, and select civil society organizations. He argues that governments are no longer, quote, the overwhelmingly dominant actors on the world stage, and the time has come for a new stakeholder paradigm of international governance. Now, why is this significant? Now, we're going to shift gears. Let's go to the Bible part of this. Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verses 31 through 35. If you're listening to me today by podcast, again, that is Daniel 2, 31 through 35. I'm going to read this to you. Quote, you, O king, were watching. This is Nebuchadnezzar, who received an image. He had a dream of an image, and we're going to show you that image in just a second. And he has this troubling dream, where he sees this image of different elements. He tries to get all the magicians and the soothsayers and all those to come interpret his dream, and they could not, so he finds Daniel. Daniel interprets the dream, and this is where we are at, Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 through 35. Oh, you, O king, we're watching, and behold, a great image. In fact, let me do this. Let's just put up the image here, so you can get a picture of this. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image, the head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet were partially of iron and partially of clay. You watched, listen to this, while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away, so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. I'm going to pull this away. I'm going to give you, again, all these, the image of the head, the arms, and the thighs and the waist and the toes. These are all kingdoms, starting with Babylon itself, headed by Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, you saw the cessation or timeline of the rule and reign and destruction of empire, starting with yours, going all the way down to the future where there is 2 feet, 10 toes. And in the days of those kings, which are the 10 toes, this great stone coming out of heaven is the kingdom of heaven. It is Christ. It is the Messiah. It is the Mashiach. It is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he will come and crush these kings together. That's the quick interpretation of that. But I want to read this to you. By the way, let me give you, before we do that, I want you to become familiar with this. Let me give you the interpretation of who these empires are based on most scholars and theologians that will agree with this. Number one was the head of gold, which represents Babylon, that ruled, again, from 605 BC to 539 BC. Then you had the breast and arms of silver. This represents the Media-Persian Empire that came and took over Babylon. And you see the timeline. And then you have the belly and thighs of brass. This was the Grecian Empire that came, ruled by Alexander the Great. Then you come down to the legs of iron. This is the Roman Empire. And we'll talk more about this in just a moment. And then you get down to the feet, the iron and clay. This could very well be the divided nations of Europe, or European nations, or nations in the European Union. They could be made up. Again, this is speculation. We don't know. We can't be dogmatic. But those could be made up of five Arab nations and five European nations. We don't know. But they're iron and clay, and that's an interesting of itself. Could it be mingled with democracy and communism? We don't know. Again, there's so many different interpretations and speculations on that. And again, of course, but during the days of those kings, the feet with the 10 toes, the stone that's coming out of heaven will be the God of heaven and his kingdom that will destroy all these. But listen to me. I can't pull this up on the screen because it's way too much scripture. So I'm going to ask you to bear with me as I read this. This is Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. Daniel 7, 1 through 8. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. And then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, quote, I saw my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And this is the Mediterranean Sea basin, that area. And four great beasts, somebody say four, came up from the sea, each different from one another. The first beast that I saw was likened unto a lion and had eagle's wings. And I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. Verse 5, and suddenly another beast, or a second beast, came up, and it was likened unto a bear. It was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise and devour much flesh. Verse 6, after this I looked, and there was another, a third beast, likened unto a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given unto it. Verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast. Somebody say a fourth beast, because this is the one we really want to home in on today. Dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong, It had huge iron teeth, and it was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Verse 8, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. Now I want to break down these four kingdoms or these four empires. Number one, the lion, I believe, was the Babylonian Empire. You'll discover when you do some research in history that images of lions with wings were very commonplace in the days of ancient Babylon, with creatures with human heads and bodies of winged lions could even be seen carved on many entrances of temples and gates. Daniel the prophet ultimately saw that Nebuchadnezzar was being removed from power over Babylon. And Babylon, listen to this, in Babylon, the lion was associated with the goddess Ishtar. And in fact, the statue's back has marks indicating it was likely meant to carry a sitting goddess, Ishtar. One of the most prominent monuments in Babylon is a lion. And we've got I got a picture of this. Let me see if I can pull this up here. Again, one of the most prominent monuments in Babylon is the lion. And you'll see these throughout all of in this area of in Iraq. By the way, Baghdad, Iraq is where ancient Babylon was. And this is all through there. All right, So again, the first empire was likened to a lion. That's the Babylonian Empire. Then we have the second one, which Daniel described it as a bear. Most scholars will agree that this empire was the Media-Persian Empire that inevitably overthrew the Babylonians. Here's an interesting fact. Some of the largest bears in the world can actually be found in the Persian mountains, which today is Iran or Iranian mountains. In the vision of Nebuchadnezzar, the bear in which he saw had three ribs in its mouth. This is generally interpreted as three kingdoms that the Media-Persian Empire would overthrow, which was Babylon, Egypt, and Libya. All right, then we have the fourth beast, which was described as a four-headed leopard with four wings. This kingdom was identified as Greece and was led by Alexander the Great. But to this day, it remains a mystery. And I'm going to say that again. It's a mystery of what exactly the four heads and four wings actually represent. But it's believed that it could have represented four top generals under Alexander the Great, who divided the empire into four divisions after his death. Now, here's something else that's interesting. I didn't pull the picture up here, but you remember recently the United Nations and certain places, especially in New York, I believe it was at the New York headquarters of the United Nations, they had on display this beast that absolutely describes what we're talking about here. Again, and many saw that as a prophetic sign that God is saying, look, this is where we're heading in prophecy. This was the final. Number three, again, this third empire here was led up by Alexander the Great. Then you have the fourth one that comes after him, which is what's called the final beast. And let me give you the description of that. This beast, according to what Daniel saw, he said this fourth and final empire, he described it as having huge iron teeth. Iron, I-O-R-O-N. That's interesting because Rome is known for the Iron Curtain. You had iron, you had, so there's a connection. You had the huge iron teeth. He saw this kingdom, whoever this fourth empire was, they were devouring, breaking to pieces, and trampling. And it had 10 horns. And we'll talk about that in just a second. This beast is described as having 10 horns upon its heads. In order to get a more detailed, now this is important here, listen to me. In order to get more detailed descriptions of this final empire that will arise in the last days, we have to move beyond the book of Daniel and go to the writings of John the Revelator in the book of Revelation. Now, if you remember my last, one of my last podcast segments, I showed you the parallels of Daniel and John. And one of them was both Daniel and John both saw 10 kings in the last days. Remember that? But John got a more clear understanding and revelation of these 10 kings, and even more so than what Daniel saw. So, of course, that means we're going to have to take you to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. And we're going to read in verse 1 through 4, because John is going to describe this fourth and final empire, or this beast. Look at this. John said, I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Again, this is the Mediterranean Sea. This beast had 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns were 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Whatever the name is on the heads of this kingdom are considered to be blasphemous to God. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like that of a bear, and his mouth was like an of a lion. But the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Now stop here for a second. Here's what's interesting. The fourth kingdom that Daniel and John both saw that would emerge in the last days would be a mixture of the previous empires before it. Let me say that again. It would be a mixture of the previous empires before that. He said this beast was like a leopard, like a bear, and like a lion. It had certain traits of each empire. In other words, come on, it's going to be an emergence of these empires together to rise in the last days. And Satan, who is the dragon, will empower this empire, who will be led up by the Antichrist. Look at this. And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded. This is not referring to the head on your shoulders. Christian novels have made great money off that. Christian movies have made great money off of that. But the Antichrist will not be shot in the head and raised from the dead. That's where they get that from. John said, I saw one of his heads. Guys, you've only got one head on your shoulders. This word head here, heads in the Greek, refers to nations, empires, or kingdoms. So I want to read to you the correct interpretation of this. And I saw one of his kingdoms as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. In other words, watch this. There will be a kingdom in the last days that will be mortally wounded. It will look as though it had been completely annihilated, completely destroyed, but it will raise up again, and it will be the mixture of, it will be the mixture of the Babylonian Empire. It will be the mixture of the Medes and Persian Empire and the Grecian Empire. And I will say this, the Roman Empire. Now look at this. And the world will be so fascinated by this event that look what he says. And the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. That's Satan. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is like this empire? Come on, somebody. Who is like this kingdom that we've never seen? Look at this kingdom. This kingdom was taken down. It was destroyed. It was finished, but it has been raised from the ashes. It's been raised up. We thought it was gone. It's done. But now all of a sudden, there is a man that's rising up among the 10 kings of this empire, rising up among them, uprooting three, Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. He's taking, he's conquering to conquer. The Antichrist is starts out small and becomes great. Look what it says. It says, who is able to make war with him? Who's able to make war with the Antichrist, who is spearheading this fourth empire? Now, I want to read this to you. An early church, one of the early church fathers, and was actually a pastor of the Church of Rome in 170 to 236 AD, described these empires, and we just went over what these were. But he himself even said that the nondescripted fourth kingdom, he said, would be Rome. He said it would be a revised Roman Empire that would emerge in the last days. And the 10 toes are 10 kingdoms that will emerge from the Roman Empire. Again, this is what not only just this early church father, but many, many, many after him, even some of your commentaries that you read in your Bible, they will agree with this interpretation. Now, again, let me recap this. There was the head of gold, Babylonians, the chest and arms of silver, the Medes and Persians, then the belly of thighs and bronze, that's the Grecian Empire. Number four, the legs of iron, that's the Roman Empire that eventually split east and west. Hello, that's two legs. Then you get down to the feet and the 10 toes, which Daniel described as partially clay and iron. And again, out of this will come 10 kingdoms that will be established in the earth. So here's the point I'm trying to make to you today. Let's go back to the original. Let me pull this up. I'm gonna pull this article back up. The calls to form a one world government, is this the emergence, the early signs, the early harbinger of what is to come, which is the emergence of the fourth kingdom or the fourth empire and the last empire of Bible prophecy. Now, I want to say this. I've read with you all of this, and I want to tell you this. If this is going to hold any water, and there's going to be a lot of ifs here, if we truly are seeing the makings, the beginnings, the alpha of the fourth kingdom, the kingdom of the beast, this final empire. If we are seeing the beginnings of this, listen to me, there's no other way you can interpret this. That has to mean that right now, as we speak, April 7, 2022, behind the scenes, there is now taking place the creation, listen to me, the creation or the forming of a global coalition, of nations, which will consist of ultimately, it may be 20 now or 12 or 15, but eventually there's going to be a coalition of 10 kingdoms or 10 nations. And out of those 10, and this is where, remember, what did I read to you from Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset? What did he say? He said, there needs to come a global governance. There needs to be a one, the importance of a one world leader, a one world government, a new world order. So in order, listen, for the Antichrist to empower and rule a fourth empire, Bible prophecy, or this fourth kingdom. And John called it the eighth kingdom because there was two different perspectives. There was seven empires of Bible prophecy. I just named you five of them. Before that, you had Egypt and you had these other empires. It was before Babylon, but they fell. So you go down there and you get to the seventh empire. I'm not confused. I'm trying to explain to you. You get to the seventh empire, which is this coalition of 10 nations that will, according to John the Revelator, he says they will last a short space or 42 months, but out of them comes the little horn that rises up among them. This, come on, here's your one world leader that the world's looking for. Guess what? He's coming. He's going to emerge. And he's going to rise up among the 10 kings. So what I'm trying to tell you today, and what Brother Ricky's trying to tell you today, is that if we are truly on the precipice of the eighth and final empire, or what Daniel described as the fourth empire, fourth kingdom ruled by the Antichrist, Daniel called it the fourth empire, John said the eighth empire, or the eighth the kingdom. If we truly are there, we have to have this coalition of 10 nations. It has to happen. So here's the question is it being formed? Is the blueprints being laid out for it? Is the conditioning for it being laid out? Because remember, when they get up and they speak at these conferences, what are they saying? What is the agenda? Let me go back and see if I can pull this up. What did he say? He said that, he stated that a globalized world is best managed by a self-selected coalition of multinational corporations, governments, including the UN, and select civil society organizations, as he argues that governments are no longer the, quote, overwhelmingly dominant actors on the world stage, and the time has come for a new stakeholder paradigm of international governance. Well, again, it looks to me, guys, that the groundwork is indeed being laid for the end times and for this thing to come to fruition. Guys, this is exciting news if you are on the right side of the tracks. This is exciting news if you know and understand the times and seasons in which we're in. This is not gloom and doom. It is not fear-mongering. It is not hyperbole. It is not sensationalism, and it is not conspiracy. It is Bible. It is prophecy. It's been foretold. And come on, you and I are blessed to be alive and well and live to see these days that the prophets have foretold. And we, you and I, have a responsibility, and that is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom and to every living creature. Come on, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Come on, and bringing in disciples. We are equipping you today, we're informing you today, and we are letting you know the urgency of the times that we are in. And I want to remind you, Jesus said in Luke 21:28, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Now, listen, if you didn't get excited about that, let me say this one last thing to get you even more excited. Remember, I will remind you that, come on, it is in the days of those 10 kings that the God of heaven shall come down with his kingdom and destroy all those kingdoms together and set up and rule and reign, come on, for 1,000 years on the earth. in the millennial reign. Hallelujah. I'm telling you guys, we are living in exciting times. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap, a praise, a thank you, Jesus, a hallelujah, an amen, or something. So listen, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Right there on the screen, that's going to be our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Don't forget to download the app. Get it. It's available. It's free. It's on Apple. It's on Android. Get notified. Push yes to push notifications and get all that into your inbox. As always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of information, blessing, revelation, equipping, and encouraging on a weekly basis, please pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give by the app. Right there on the screen, it shows you how to do that. If you've got the app, just go down and click the donate button, or you can give electronically through the main website, or you can give by check or money order, and you can do that by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, we appreciate you taking the time out today on this Thursday of being part of the broadcast. We're going to get ready to pray today to sign off. We, Lord willing, we should be back on here tomorrow to close out this week of podcasting. Again, don't forget to subscribe, hit the push notifications, share this, subscribe to us on Rumble, on YouTube, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Parler, we're on Getter, we're on Gab, we're all over the place, Instagram, we're everywhere. Everywhere, every major news social media outlet, we're there. We're on the alternative outlets. So go find us, subscribe to us, keep up with this, get the app, do all that. So until we see you tomorrow, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance be upon you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.